Welcome everyone to the Week 4 CFL conference call. I would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Lucas Barrett. Please go ahead, Mr. Barrett.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Week 4 CFL conference call. On today's line we have members of the Edmonton Eskimos and Toronto Argonauts. From Edmonton we have quarterback Mike Riley and running back TJ Gable. And on the Toronto Argonauts we have James Franklin and Marcus Ball. Francis, if we could let the media know how to ask a question and open up the Q&A.
Thank you. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making a selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun. Please go ahead.
This is for both quarterbacks. The timing of these two games with James getting his first two starts as an Argo against his old team, against his old quarterbacking partner, is pretty compelling. Can both of you guys open up by chewing on it to some extent, your history together, you know, what it was like in the meetings between the two of you and your thoughts going into this scenario?
Yeah, I guess I'll start as Mike. You know, it's always cool to see guys that you played with, you know, get their opportunity, especially when you're playing with them when they're young. You know, James obviously spent his rookie part of his career in Edmonton and was a great teammate and was a guy that, you know, you just could see developing over his time here. You know, his arc, I guess, was a little different than normally for quarterbacks in the sense that he had to jump in and play significantly early based on my injury. You know, and then, you know, between him and Matt, keeping our team afloat on that season that we had the Grey Cup. And then, you know, his play time may not have been as significant over the two seasons after that. But, you know, what you don't see on game day is the stuff that goes on the field in practice, what goes on in the meeting rooms and things like that. And you could certainly see James, you know, grasping the offense better and better, you know, as each season went on and you could see, you know, he always threw the deep ball well, always did those types of things, but really understanding the offense, you know, as he progressed during his time here, and probably most importantly, how he progressed in signaling the plays in during his time. You know, he was a little timid when he first started out, and then he really took hold of it and grasped it. You know, I mean, it would be a battle between him and Kevin, who's better at that, you know, but Kevin's got 18 years under his belt, so... you know, it was cool to see him progress throughout all the different things, you know, that are asked of you as a quarterback. But it's also, you know, great for him to get his time as well. It's like when I left BC and got to Edmonton and finally got to play, you know, it feels good to finally get that opportunity, as I'm sure James is feeling that way now.
Like circulation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty similar to how I felt, too, especially with my time in Edmonton. I mean, it was great. I know I said it earlier, but it's just when I was there, and it's always a tough position when you're the backup because you don't want to step on anyone's toes, especially the starting quarterback, because you know it's their team. And so just always trying to be respectful and have a good relationship. And Mike was nothing but helpful to me when I was there. He's never condescending. He's never trying to, you know, not help me or anything like that. He was always helpful, always trying to help me get better. And I do have to argue about the signals, though. I mean, at first, I wouldn't say I was timid. I think I was all in. I don't know if, you know, old man Kevin over there can really live up to the way Danny and I connected. I know that bond is just unbreakable between us, but I will take the criticism and I'll, you know, I'll go with it and hopefully.
You gotta be coachable, man. You gotta be coachable.
That's true. I do need to. But, no, and I'm excited too. I remember, just at the end of the season last year too, Mike and you said, you're happy for me and don't think you're going to go easy on me whenever we play the Argos. And it's funny because, you know, I was expecting maybe another year or two until I'd actually get to not necessarily play against you, but, you know, be able to have our teams play against each other because I know we don't directly compete. And now we'll get this opportunity. And I'm just thankful for the help that Mike's provided for me over the years, helping me develop and kind of progress as a quarterback, especially in the league up here where the field's bigger, the throw looks a little bit different, and just learning and seeing him do it and trying to apply that to my game.
If I can get just one extension to that, James, in terms of familiarity, and of course that goes both ways, is it a good thing or a bad thing that you're going against Edmonton in your first two starts against the Arts?
I mean, it's good and bad. You know, some would say that it's a benefit that I've kind of had to go against the defense or see the defense the last 3 years. But at the same time, I mean, it's still practice. It's not live. You know, all the players know practice is a little bit different than a game. The biggest reason being because you can actually tackle and get hit and things like that. So, I mean, it's kind of funny how it works out that it is my first start, but I don't think it's necessarily an advantage, and I don't think it's a disadvantage. I think it's just it is how it is, and when we go out there and play, I mean, I know some people will probably say that if I do well, it's, oh, yeah, well, he's had some experience, or if I do bad, it's like, oh, no, you know, that didn't help at all. So I think just going into it, I'm excited to see a lot of the guys and then get to play against them. I know that they'll definitely be giving me a hard time out there, and especially Mondo, he always would joke around in practice, and so, you know, that's a sack, Frank, and I always say, no, I'll break that tackle, but unfortunately now I'm going to have to try and prove that if he gets a hold of me, but no, I'm excited for it, and I think that, you know, whatever happens is going to happen. I don't think it's an advantage or disadvantage that I was with him for the last few years.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Christina Costabile from CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My question is actually for Marcus Ball. I just want to get your thoughts on the depth at linebacker, especially with Bear and Taylor Reed on the sixth game, and if you think that the Edmonton run game is going to pose a threat for you guys this week to try to contain.
Whether we're healthy or not, any team, you know, going against this running game and Edmonton is, you know, is going to be faced with a challenge. I mean, these guys they're big, they're strong, they're fast. Personally, I think CJ's in the top tier of the league, if not, you know, the top running back in the league. So you get him behind a massive O line like those guys, and you know, and Mike drops his shoulder every now and then in that running game. So I mean, you know, I really want to, you know, wish everybody would be healthy, but you know, it's a challenge either way. You know, but that's the game we play. You know, that's the world we live in. Unfortunately, you know, Bear and Tank are both out right now, but I mean, we're loaded, man. We're ready to roll. We got guys ready to step in and make plays themselves and Plummer and Jordan. So yeah, it'd be a big challenge with these guys though.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My question is for Marcus as well. Marcus, it's been a tough start to the season with the results and obviously Ricky's injury. I wondered, the bye coming so early, was that good to kind of regroup, or were you just chomping at the bit to get back out there again?
The bye weeks are always good up here in the CFL. I mean, you can ask any player across the league. We can appreciate the bye week, whether it's week one or week 18. It doesn't matter. You know, it's been a rocky start. You know, we're not in good feelings right now with Ricky being out and the way he went out. You know what I mean? But I mean, we got James ready to roll, man. He's ready to step in and do his deal, and you know, we're 0-2 right now, but it's still very early. We still have the same goals to attain, and we still, you know, those goals are still up there for the reach and for the taking. So we just got to get back on board and, man, and get this thing rolling.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Marty Klinkenberg from the Globe and Mail. Please go ahead.
Hi. This question is for Mike. When you think back over, say, the last 10, 12 years, and you think about offensive linemen in terms of their size and agility, that sort of thing, how have they changed over this span?
Well, I mean, they've certainly gotten bigger. I mean, Marcus alluded to it with our team and our offensive line. I mean, we've had some pretty good consistency in our starting crew over the last couple of years, our starting five. You know, so I can't – when I was in B.C., our offensive line was not nearly as big. And even there's been a couple of seasons here where we've had some shorter, smaller guys on our offensive line. But over the last couple of years, the guys that we've had here in Edmonton have been massive guys. I mean, they're big and they're athletic. And it's – I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's great, you know, in the run game to be able to have those big boys going downhill and things like that. But it's also a challenge as a quarterback. I mean, James knows it. James practiced with these guys for 3 years. You know, you can't see very well behind them. You know, there's a lot of times where you're having to look around them and try to find windows and things like that, and that's why, you know, there's that much more emphasis on having proper timing in your drop and the routes by your wideouts and things like that, because it can be a bit of a challenge when your guys are so big up front. But, you know, you don't want just big, stiff dudes who can't move either, because the way the linebackers are in this league, again, Marcus being one of them, that are extremely active and very athletic but also very physical, your guys got to be able to get out in space, and they got to be able to move and get those blocks, you know, whether they're pulling as a guard or a tackle, you know, or they're trying to seal an edge or get up to the second level. If you got big, stiff guys, it's not going to work out. So the quicker they can get downfield and get on their blocks and give CJ a two-way go and just give him some options, that's what makes your offense dangerous, when the guys up front can play that way. But it's not just the size, you know. It's just big guys are not necessarily a good thing, and they can be a hindrance. But if they're big and they're physical and athletic, you know, then that's something that you want to take advantage of. So I do think that we have some really big, strong guys, but more importantly, they can move and get around out there on the field. That's what's helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, I've got a two-parter. Start with Mike. You mentioned in your first answer just that you kind of went through the same thing that James is going through this week. What do you remember about your first start in Edmonton after you backed up for so long in BC? What do you remember about that game?
I remember being excited. You know, I had started, I assume you're talking about in 2013 when I was my first start as an Edmonton Eskimo. I was excited. It's something I've been waiting a long time. You know, I've gone through three seasons thinking, you know, man, I'm ready to go. I just need a chance and all of that. You know, but then it hits you at the same time. It's excitement, but it's also nerves. You know, you're no longer coming in as a backup that started because of an injury, in the sense of like Travis was only going to be out for a week or two when I was in BC. You know, so when the guy that's in front of you goes down and it's long term, you don't know how long they're going to be out for. It's your show now, and you're the starter. You prepare all week as a starter. The guys know you're the starter. The other team knows you're the starter. And so there's just, I mean, you have much more media obligations. You have all these other things going on that you didn't have to deal with when you weren't the starter. And so you're getting pulled in all sorts of different directions. But at the same time, it's still football. I mean, once you get out on the field, they blow the whistle and they kick the ball off. It's the game that you've been playing, you know, for 25 years of your life, and it's something, an opportunity that you've been waiting for. So, you know, James has played a lot of football in this league. You know, he's getting his first start for Toronto, but he started before, so he knows what to expect. Obviously, he'll be prepared and ready for it. You know, as it does with every other game, it just comes down to who comes out and plays better and executes their game plan. You know, the great thing about this league is there aren't any teams that are head and shoulders above anybody, and there aren't any teams that are head and shoulders below anybody. I mean, yeah, Toronto's 0-2 right now. They're the Grey Cup champs, and you know, they're a good football team. And so, you know, they're only two games into this thing, and we know we're going to get their best. And James has a great team behind him. I think he understands that. So you got to just try not to do too much and just go out there and play how you know you can play.
Thanks, Mike. Second question is for CJ. You had your biggest game of the season last week, and kind of looked like the guy they brought in for the last four games of the regular season last year in the playoffs. How much better is this offense, or I guess more complete is that offense when you're involved in contributing kind of the way that you've been known to in Edmonton?
Well, I don't feel like I'm like the biggest part of it. You know, I just do me. Just make sure I get my blocks for him and so Mike can make the plays. But, you know, I just bring my physicality to the game. You know, I just, whenever I get the opportunity to play, opportunity to get the ball, you know, I just go hard. And I guess they sometimes they feed off that. And I make sure that when I get my blocks right, I make sure Mike can get it off. So everything can be complete. So I feel like I can come in a little bit, contribute, but I don't think I'm like the biggest part of everything.
Thanks. Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. Next question is from Chris Schultz from TSN. Please go ahead.
A question for James. James, can you describe what it's like sitting in meeting rooms preparing for a game when Anthony Calvillo is there, Mark Trestman is there, Ricky Ray is there? I have this almost comical visual element in my mind that you have three people talking to you and everything that they say actually makes sense. I mean, can you absorb all that experience and take mentally what they're trying to impart on you physically into a game?
Yes, sir. It is definitely a lot to take in, and knowing that they have the resumes that they do and they've had the success and experience, it's exciting for me because I know that, and it's not that they're never going to be wrong, but they've had so much experience between all of them and what they say, and I can try and apply that to my game, and I can try and apply that to how I see things and how I'm running, trying to run the offense and executing the plays. And it's exciting. It definitely is a lot at times, but not in a bad way. It's just they give their input, and it's really cool when they're all saying the same thing on different topics, whether it be the progressions or how we want the routes run and things like that, because it's like, oh, okay, that's definitely a common factor that they all see the same, and it's helped them have the success and help them, whether it be coaching or actually playing. So it is exciting, and it's a lot to take in, but I'm really thankful that I have them to learn from, and I have their advice that I can try and take that and use that and hopefully help us have success and have some fun out there.
And a quick question for Marcus. Marcus, it was a tough evening against Calgary. Curious, areas for improvement, was there anything you can share with us that was identifiable as a priority of improvement as it relates to Edmonton that has a similar receiver set as Calgary?
Anytime you put 40 points on the, you allow 40 points on the board, there's a lot of room for improvement, and I don't think this phone call is long enough for me to detail and go through that with you, man. We just got to get back on track, and like you know, and I know, and everybody on this phone call knows, man. We got a big challenge, you know. We're 0-2. We had SAS, and then bounce back. We have Calgary, and then it doesn't get any easier with the back to back. With these guys over here in green and gold. So, I mean, we got a big challenge. So we got a lot of things to fix. And by the time Saturday, 5 o'clock, everything should be ready to roll.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun. Please go ahead.
More for the quarterbacks again. James and Mike, looking ahead, if you don't mind jumping ahead a week, it's a mic'd up game. And can you contrast yourself, James? I know that Mike can produce a colorable vocabulary on occasion. You might be the most polite player I've ever covered in this league. Your thoughts and response from both of you about how you might be in that mic'd up game.
Well, I guess I didn't know it was going to be mic'd up, but I don't mind it. It's always... It's interesting to watch it online, on the TV when some of the games that have been mic'd up already, just because you can hear everything. It gives you a different perspective, and it's pretty neat, but I guess I don't really think too much about it. It's just, it kind of is what it is, and I guess, whatever is said, it's said, but I think it will be pretty good.
Well, first off, clearly now we know that James doesn't have cable and he pirates streams online when he watches the game. That's good to know. Secondly, whenever it's a game like that, you just try to go out and be yourself. I mean, that's the biggest challenge, is that there's already so many other things going on the field that, you know, mentally as a quarterback, if you're not dialed in and focused on what you're doing, you're not going to be as effective as you should be, as your team needs you to be. So, you know, you just try to forget about that and pretend like it's not there. And, you know, whatever they're going to mute out, I mean, I'm sure James is going to have to censor himself quite a bit. I probably won't have to worry about that as much. But, I mean, you know, the thing about it is if you put a mic on a guy in a game, football is a very physical, very violent game, and emotions run high and they run hot on the field. So, and that's the way that we play, and that's the way that, you know, you're going to play your best football when you're not worried about all those other things. So you can't worry about it. You just play how you're going to play. And then whatever ends up on air, you know, that's for other people to deal with. You know, I mean, that's the risk you run if you're going to put live mics on people. So, you know, hopefully yep. they do a good job with the mute button on it. But at the end of the day, it's going to be what it's going to be. I'm not going to change the way I'm going to play. You know, and I'm sure most of the guys that put them on feel that same way.
And one more just for the both of you. This is one of the things I love about this league is there's always, you know, a dozen guys in the game that at the end of the game go up and meet at center, middle of the field there. The former teammates, you know, they're knocking each other around the field all game, and then they go up and hug each other. Can you guys picture how it will be between the two of you? Envision yourself giving each other a hug after this game in Toronto?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A two-handed hug to top it off. But, oh, yeah, it's never – I know
what?
A lot of guys – hey, that's at least what I've been envisioning. But, no, it's not. When you go out there to compete, you're competing to try and win, and you want to dominate your opponents, but you also form bonds and – I think a lot of the guys do a good job of making sure they keep those relationships, and there's no hard feelings. That's why I know if someone's trying to come and hit as hard as they can, I'm not going to take it personal. That's kind of their job to, you know, try and make a good hit on me or the running back or the receivers or, you know, us make the guys miss on defense and trying to score points. It's not impersonal. So I'm going to go up to Mike, whether he accepts it or not, and give him a big two-handed hug.
Yeah, I've been working on my stiff arm, so I don't think that's an issue. But, I mean, yeah, it's always a little awkward on Eastern games being on the same sidelines. It's like, you know, does everybody just, like, go out to the, you know, when you're on the opposite side, you know, walk across the field and see everybody. But, you know, it's friendship, but it's also the mutual respect, even for guys that I have never played with, guys that I've just played against for years. It's just that respect of knowing, you know, how much hard work that we all put into being prepared to play this game. Again, how physical, how violent that it is, and how demanding it is mentally and physically. You know, so when the game's over with, there's nothing, once that final whistle blows, there's nothing you can do to change the outcome of the game. So at that point, you know, you respect your opponent and you go over there and you just congratulate them on a game that was played hard. And, you know, and then if you have ex-teammates, it's always good to catch up with them a little bit, you know, but that's how it is pretty much after every game. Like I said, James, you keep those two-handed hugs away from me, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dave Naylor from TSN. Please go ahead.
A couple questions for James. First one, James. When you came to the CFL originally, at what point did it sort of dawn on you that, you know, I may have to put in a couple of years here? Because I assume a lot of guys, when they come to the CFL, you know, they may think they're going to win a job, start a job in the first year or two. And you know, did you know that coming in, or was that something that you kind of had to, you know, accept and learn along the way?
Well, coming in, I mean, you know, the goal always is to start, but Mike made it pretty clear that I wasn't coming to take his spot. No, it was, I mean, when I first got here, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know much about the CFL. I just knew that I'd signed a 3-year deal and just had to be patient. And I wasn't necessarily thinking I was going to become a starter right away. I was definitely in the mindset of it'll be probably the long game. So hopefully a few years from the time I got there, but I didn't know much about it. I was just kind of going in with the mindset of being patient and waiting for an opportunity.
How much more do you understand about this game today than when you showed up, you know, in Edmonton 3 years ago?
Quite a bit, and I really do think it helped that I wasn't starting or getting to play a lot right away. I mean, I know once Mike went down and I got to play a little bit, but kind of being able to sit back and see how things are run, see how it's done right and how it's done wrong, I think that's really helped me develop to where mentally maybe I have avoided some critical plays or big mess-ups if I would have actually been playing instead of being on the sideline and being able to sit back and watch. So I'm really thankful for that time. I know everyone's goal is to become a starter and play, and experience is the best teacher, but I think it helped me mentally just to understand the game a little bit more and help develop in my game personally.
And just one more, if I could. Can you take us back to sort of last winter? You could have gone to free agency, and I'm sure you heard the same things that a lot of us heard, that there were a number of teams that were interested in you had you gone to free agency. Why was the opportunity in Toronto, you know, worth foregoing that? What about what the Argos presented to you, you know, made you say, hey, I'm going to do this rather than go out and talk to a bunch of teams?
Well, to start off, the fact that they were willing to trade for me and not have any guarantees, I thought that said a lot because, you know, I could have just waited and, you know, the trade would have been for nothing. And so, that stood out to me. And then also just talking to a few of the guys and hearing a lot of good things about the organization, that I want to be around good people and I want to be in a good system and, you know, just be more patient. Of course, you know, theoretically there were a few teams where maybe I could have been starting right away, but I just wanted to go somewhere that had good structure, a good support system and something I could build off of.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is for you, Mike. I'm sure our offense has evolved, but when you play against a former teammate, especially one who knows the offense, do you look to shake things up a little, camouflage things, or do you just go ahead and do what you do?
Well, no, man, I mean, there's a lot of teams in this league that run similar offenses, you know, and it all started with Coach Trestman, and it's kind of branched off from there. So whether we're playing, you know, we played against Winnipeg early in the year. Darius was over there, and he's a guy that knew a ton about our offense. You know, played against DC last week. Obviously, playing against Odell Willis, he's a guy that has played against this offense a ton. You know, so playing against Toronto, having James there, having Coach Trestman there, where they run, you know, very similar stuff to us. At the end of the day, you're always going to game plan against the team that you're playing against, and you're going to have a couple of wrinkles here and there that you think you can take advantage of the other team. But at the same time, they can always come out and have their own adjustments that they're going to do, especially a team like Toronto coming off a bye week. They've had some time, you know, to put some wrinkles in and change some things up. So at the end of the day, it's always we're just going to run our stuff and try to execute it to the very best of our ability, and we feel like if we do that, we'll be successful. So, you know, there's not a lot. I've always felt like, you know, in my experience, when you try to do too much, you try to trick the other team, you overthink things, you're not going to play very well. It's more just about, again, going out and playing your best football. The other team's going to do the same, and whoever executed better is going to come away with the win. And that's how we always try to approach it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. There are no questions registered at this time. I'm giving the lead back over to you, Mr. Barrett.
Thanks, Francis. I was going to say thanks to Mike, CJ, James, and Marcus. Week 4 begins tomorrow night with Hamilton and Saskatchewan kicking off at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks again, everybody.